Hello, and warm greetings to our listeners of Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Program. My name is Ben Park. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Broadcast. Why don't we begin with reading the Bible together? Our first program, Let's Read the Bible, will help us to listen to His words and teach us how to read on our own time. Now we have a devotional program for teenagers called Unlock. Our next program, Children's Bible Drama, will open our imagination world to portray characters in the Bible. And last, but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will wrap up the broadcast. I hope you have a blessed time rejoicing in God throughout this journey, and please invite your friends to begin this awesome journey together. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I am the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. Last time, we discussed that we who were freed from sin because of Christ Jesus must live according to the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, instead of living as our fleshly desire leads. To properly live a life led by the Holy Spirit, we must not focus only on trying not to sin anymore, but we must focus on living a holy life as we should. But it is not easy. As a mere human, we often live by our fleshly desire, not by God's will. When we live this way, there are specific beings who sigh out of disappointment. The first being, it is the whole creation. The creation knows that God will liberate all from bondage, and so it waits with eager expectation for that day to come. It also knows the day that we, the children of God, will come to salvation and realize God's will. So whenever we go astray from God, the creation groans. The other being who groans when we go astray is the Holy Spirit. There is one thing that we should be grateful for. The creation can only groan seeing our failure. However, the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there, but intercedes and prays for us to God. Most of us know in our heads that we must live according to God's will, but don't really understand how we can do so. The Holy Spirit, who is God Himself, knows the mind of God, so it intercedes for us in accordance with the will of God. Then, what is the will of God? What is His ultimate will towards us? Romans chapter 8, verse 29, which we'll be reading today, explains it like this. God planned that those He had chosen would become like His Son. That's right. God's ultimate will for us is that we become like His Son, Jesus Christ. For this, as verse 28 says, God works for the good in all things. This is what we will learn today in Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 30. Do you know what God's will toward you is? The answer is that He wants us to become more like Jesus Christ. Are you living according to His will? I hope that in all things happening in our lives, all of us will become more like Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we hope that Your will towards us will become our will as well. Please help us to want to become more like Jesus and to try to become like Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray, Amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Justin Kang from Arizona will read the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 30 from NIRV. I hope that you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Justin Kang. I'm 12 years old and I live in Levine, Arizona. Today I'm going to read Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 30. Let's read the Bible. What we are suffering now is nothing compared with our future glory. Everything God created looks forward to the future. That will be the time when His children appear in their full and final glory. The created world was held back from fulfilling its purpose. But this was not the result of its own choice. It was planned that way by the one who held it back. God planned to set the created world free. He didn't want it to rot away. Instead, God wanted it to have the same freedom and glory that His children have. We know that all that God created has been groaning. It is in pain as if it were giving birth to a child. The created world continues to groan even now. And that's not all. We have the Holy Spirit as the promise of future blessing. But we also groan inside ourselves. We do this as we look forward to the time when God adopts us as full members of His family. Then He will give us everything He has for us. He will raise our bodies and give glory to them. That's the hope we had when we were saved. But hope that can be seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? We hope for what we don't have yet, so we are patient as we wait for it. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us when we are weak. We don't know what we should pray for, but the Spirit Himself prays for us. He prays through groans too deep for words. God, who looks into our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, and the Spirit prays for God's people just as God wants Him to pray. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. He appointed them to be saved in keeping with His purpose. God planned that those He had chosen would become like His Son. In that way, Christ will be the first and most honored among many brothers and sisters. And those God has planned for, He has also appointed to be saved. Those He has appointed, He has made right with Himself. To those He has made right with Himself, He has given His glory. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for giving us the Holy Spirit to pray for us when we are weak and don't know what we should pray for. Please guide us to become more like Your Son, Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray, Amen.
Is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be 2 episodes every week. Here is the first episode.
Have you ever thought of God as a friend? What might it mean to be friends with God? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and you're listening to Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Friendship. In my mind, one of the most valuable things in life are good friends. But is there such a thing as a perfect friend? That's a question Aubrey Hare asks in today's devotion, titled, A Perfect Friend? Have you ever felt like you didn't have any friends? I moved about 2 years ago, and I still have a hard time making new friends. Sometimes I have dreams of meeting the perfect friend who loves the same things I do, has my same interest, and maybe has experienced some of the same situations I have, but I never seem to find the perfect friend like I dream of. One night, as I was praying to God, I realized that I will never find a perfect friend. Every person is different, and throughout our lives, we will have different friendships. Yet, we all have one thing in common. We are sinners in need of God's mercy and love. And God doesn't give up on us. He wants us to be in friendship with Him, so He made a way for us to be forgiven. Jesus calls us His friends, and He made the ultimate sacrifice by taking our sins and dying on the cross, then resurrecting from the dead to defeat sin and death so we can be with Him forever when He returns. Until then, He has sent His Holy Spirit to be in everyone who's put their trust in Him. After I realized that only Jesus can be my perfect friend, I was excited. He is available whenever I need to talk to Him, and He always wants to listen to me. Through His Holy Spirit, Jesus is with me throughout my day. He gives me wisdom and strength when I need it, and He comforts me when things are hard. God doesn't just want to give me the resources I need. He wants to be my resource. He wants to be my friend. The Bible says that God designed us for community and that friendship is important. God even offers us wisdom in choosing our friends. We all need a good friend, but it's important to remember that we will never find a perfect friend. Sometimes you may feel like you don't have any friends, but in those times, remember that you're not alone. Jesus is near. And keep praying for God to guide you to another friend in His perfect timing. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Have you ever thought of God as a friend? What might it mean to be friends with God? Have you been hoping for a friend? Is there someone in your life you might have overlooked because they don't seem to be like a perfect friend, or because they're different from you? While we're called to be kind to all people, what is different about being friends with someone? How can you be a good friend? How has Jesus been a good friend to you? Now, as you and I can read in John chapter 15, verse 13, no one has greater love than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Luke chapter 6, verse 31, as well as John 15, 12 through 15, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, to keep God's word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries, and you know what? We would love to be friends with you on social media. Just search for Unlocked Devotion on the various social media channels, and you'll see there almost daily updates, a good laugh every once in a while, and an occasional peek behind the scenes of Unlocked. I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here is the second episode of Unlocked.
How does knowing the way Jesus views you affect the way you view others? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and you're listening to Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Have you ever heard the phrase, beauty is in the eye of the beholder? It's a phrase that I've heard a few times, at least growing up, and I always kind of wondered about. Well, it's actually more true than you might first think, and we're going to dig into why in our devotion today. This one is written by Golda Dilemma and is called Wonderfully Made. I felt ugly when I was young. I did not see any beauty in me. I had low self-esteem, I wasn't confident, and I did not think that I was special. I didn't feel smart or intelligent. I felt really shy and vulnerable. I did not want to be around people. And I thought, there's nothing likable in me that will draw people to me. Have you ever felt like that? As I grew older, I began to learn what God says about me in His Word. These things are true about you as well. It's written in the Bible that you are wonderfully made. God made you in His image to reflect His glory and goodness. God is wonderful, kind, patient, beautiful. And because you're made in His image, you get to be those things as well. You're one of a kind. You have a beautiful nature. You're unique. You're special because the God who created the universe is the God who perfectly made you, and He loves you. Thing is, though, we live in a world that's broken by sin, where we are all broken. and we all do wrong. Sin separates us from our loving Creator and distorts the good way God made us. But Jesus came to make us new. Through His life, death, and resurrection, we can be reunited with God. As Jesus' forgiven followers, we get to discover how God truly made us when we abide in Him. His Holy Spirit is in us, transforming us to be like Christ and restoring us to the ways God made us to be. God has planted talents and abilities in you that may shine and be a blessing to others. Through Jesus, He's given you self-control so that you can make good decisions. He's also given you a kind, loving, caring, considerate, gentle, joyful, and forgiving heart. You have a body that can do things for you and for other people. You have senses that were made to behold the beauty of nature and others around you. And God has brought you to places where you can make a difference. Know that God made you with a purpose, and you can reflect His love to others. You were made wonderful, so that you may, as the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So, let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Do you sometimes look down on yourself? When it's hard to believe what God says about you is true, or see the good ways He's made you, who's a trusted Christian you can talk to? How does knowing the way Jesus views you affect the way you view others? As you and I can read in Psalm 139, verse 14, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18, and Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29 to help keep God's Word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. Have you checked out our social media pages lately? We would love to connect with you. Just search for @UnlockedDevo on Instagram and Facebook for almost daily updates, a good laugh every once in a while, and an occasional peek behind the scenes of Unlocked. Also, be sure to check back tomorrow because you and I are going to be taking a look at a poem called I Can't Lift My Head. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Following is a program, Children's Bible Drama.
Hello, everyone. It's June from the Judges' version of children's Bible drama. Gaal and his brothers moved into Shechem. They ate and drank and began to ridicule Abimelech by saying he could easily get rid of him. Abimelech's right-hand man, Zebul, immediately told Abimelech what he heard. The angry Abimelech led his army to attack Gaal and the Shechem people.
Let's hide and keep watch on the city of Shechem.
Yes!
It's early in the morning, so there aren't many people moving about. Divide into four units and attack the city of Shechem from all four directions.
Yes!
Following Abimelech's command, the army divided into four units and began heading towards Shechem. Gaal saw Abimelech's army coming down the hilltop from afar.
Are these people coming down from the mountaintop?
Then Abimelech's right-hand man, Zebul, spoke to Gaal.
People? No, they're not people. You've mistaken the shadow of the mountains as if they were men.
Shadow? No, I'm certain they're people. Look over there. There are people coming to the field and there are people coming from the trees. It's a battle! It's a battle!
Zebul sneered at Gaal, who was in shock.
Gaal, why are you in shock? Didn't you say, who is Abimelech that we should be subject to him? And didn't you say you would punish him right away? Now that Abimelech has come, go and punish him as you said.
To avoid embarrassment before the Shechem people, Abimelech and his brother led the way and began fighting with Abimelech.
Abimelech, I'm coming for you!
Gaal went, fought courageously, but he couldn't win against Abimelech's army. Eventually, he quickly ran far away from Shechem. Abimelech quietly pretended to return and hid in the mountain.
King Abimelech, are you returning home?
Of course not. I will punish those Shechem people who got together with Gaal and insulted me. The city gate of Shechem is now shut, so it will be difficult to fight. We'll spend the night here in the mountain. Tomorrow, when the Shechem people open the city gate, they'll be caught off guard when we attack. We'll get some rest this evening.
Yes!
The next morning, just as Abimelech expected, the Shechem people opened the city gate and went out to the field to work. Abimelech divided his army into three groups. Two groups attacked the people in the field and one group advanced to the city gate.
Charge!
The Shechem people were dying at the hands of Abimelech. The Shechem people who were still alive hid in the stronghold at the temple of El Berith. About 1,000 Shechem people hid in the stronghold. The stronghold was a stone tower. When Abimelech heard the people who were still alive escape to the stronghold, he commanded his army.
Cut some branches from the trees in this mountain. Carry a bundle on your shoulders and follow me.
Following Abimelech's command, the army cut off branches and went to the stronghold. They piled the branches against the stronghold and set it on fire. Just as Gideon's youngest son Jotham prophesied, fire came out of Abimelech and consumed the people of Shechem. God brought judgment upon the people of Shechem who helped Abimelech kill Gideon's sons. However, Abimelech was the one who killed Gideon's sons. How will God bring judgment upon the sin of Abimelech? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of children's Bible drama. Goodbye.
For God so loved the world.
You to participate in our program, Let's Read the Bible. You can record your own reading of Bible passages and send them to us, Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries. For more information, please call us at 602-866-8999. Thank you.
Following this program, Lead Devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we will listen to Monday through Friday's daily devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's daily devotional.
I met the new girl that moved next door. She speaks sign language, so I'm going to learn it to be her friend.
That's great. Sometimes being friends takes a little extra commitment. Welcome to Keys for Kids. My name is Zach, and I'm so glad that you're listening today. You know, in the fourth grade, I broke my foot. I had to use crutches for a really long time. It was extra hard to get in and out of the car and through doors, and sometimes just sitting down was difficult. My friends and family went out of their way to help me, which made my life a lot easier. Your friends might not need crutches, but you should still go out of your way to help them. It's one way to show that we love them, just like Jesus showed his love to us when he died on the cross. Let's listen to our story for today. It's entitled, A Different Way to Talk. Sam walked into the kitchen. Hi, Mom. I'm home. Mom looked up from her homework. Hi, honey. Have you seen our new neighbors today? She asked. I saw a girl out in the yard, and she looks like she's just about your age. You should go and meet her. I already did, said Sam. I told her my name and asked hers, but she doesn't talk or anything. Maybe she's just a little shy, said Mom. It takes some people longer to adjust than others. Sam shook her head. No, it's not that. She can't talk at all. Her mom came out and told me the girl's name is Isabel, but she can't say anything. She can't hear either. I see, said Mom. Well, maybe you can find some way to be her friend anyway, through making motions or something. What do you think? Her mom told me Isabel knows sign language, said Sam. Do you think I could learn it too, Mom? I already learned a few words at school. That's a great idea, Mom replied. I'm sure you can learn more, but it will be a lot of work. I know, but Sam paused and grinned at her mom. I was just thinking of Rob and Kate. Rob was Sam's older brother. When they first went to Africa as missionaries, they had to go to language school, remember? Yes, I remember, said Mom with a smile. Before they could become friends with the people in their new country and share the love of Jesus with them, they first had to learn their language. Are you thinking that's what you'd like to do with our new neighbors? Sam nodded. Yeah, I'd like to make Isabel feel welcome here and be her friend, but since she can't hear or talk, it'd be a lot easier for both of us if I learned sign language. I'm sure she would be thrilled to have someone in the neighborhood to talk to and be her friend, said Mom. Why don't I learn sign language along with you? Then we can practice together, and we'll both be able to reach out to our new neighbors. All right, said Sam. Let's start right now. So what about you? Are you willing to go out of your way to be a friend to someone and share God's love with them? That's the kind of love Jesus showed us when he became human and died for our sins. Think about the people you know. What needs or interests do they have? Be willing to reach out to others where they are so you can be a blessing to them. Our key verse is 1 Corinthians 9:22.
I become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some.
And our key thought, go out of your way for others.
Hey, Zach. I'm going into first grade this year, and I'm nervous. Are there any Bible verses about being nervous?
Hey, Caitlin. Yes, there are many Bible verses that talk about being anxious, which is the same as being nervous. My favorite one is Philippians 4:6. If you don't know it, I suggest that you memorize it, or at least write it down on some 3x5 cards and put them around your room. Here's what it says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. You can also look up Matthew 6:26 through 34, where Jesus encourages his disciples and us not to worry about anything, but to allow God to take control. Well, Caitlin, I hope this helps you be less nervous. Thanks for writing. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
I wonder if Jesus ever got sick. I know he got hungry and thirsty. He was even sad when Lazarus died.
That's a great question. Let's see what the Bible has to say about it. My name is Zach, and you're tuned in to the one and only Keys for Kids. Thanks for joining me today. Though Jesus has always been God, he became human and lived on this earth as a man. Sometimes he was thirsty, other times hungry, and he even got tired. Jesus experienced everything that we do so he could become our Savior. Here's how Hebrews puts it. It was necessary for Jesus to be made in every respect like us. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Let's listen to our story today now. It's called Aches and Pains, Part 2. Mom brought Noah some hot broth and raspberry gelatin for lunch. This should feel good on your throat, she said as she sat down beside him. Jesus understands, Noah read as he looked at a little card Mom had placed on his tray. Mom, do you think Jesus was ever sick when he lived on earth? Well, he experienced a lot of the same things we do, Mom said. Picking up her Bible, she opened it to the book of Matthew. Here in chapter 4, it says Jesus was hungry. That's something we experience. I'm sure not hungry today, though, said Noah with a wry smile. Not today, maybe, said Mom, but you'll feel hungry when you're better. Do you think Jesus ever got thirsty? I guess he did, Noah replied. He asked a Samaritan woman to let him have a drink of water once, didn't he? And on the cross, Jesus said he was thirsty. Right, said Mom. How about tired? Did he get tired too? Well, one time he fell asleep in a boat during a big storm. He must have been really tired. It would be hard to sleep while the boat was bouncing around on big waves. Good thinking, Mom said. Now, do you think he was ever sad? Yeah, I think so, said Noah. He was sad when Lazarus died. The Bible says Jesus wept. My teacher says that's the shortest verse in the Bible. Right again, said Mom. So we know there were times when Jesus was hungry, thirsty, tired, and sad. I don't know any place where the Bible says Jesus was ever sick, but it does say he was like us. She paused. There's one way he wasn't like us, though. Do you know what that is? I know. We sin, but Jesus never did. That's right. He was tempted to sin like we are, but he never gave in to temptation. Because he never sinned, he was able to take the punishment for our sin on the cross so we could be saved. Noah nodded thoughtfully. So he was a lot like me when he was growing up, and he probably did get sick sometimes. Noah gave his mom a little smile. I'm glad he understands how I feel. So what about you? Do you ever wonder if Jesus really understands you and your problems? Jesus is God, but because he had to become like us in order to die for our sins, he is also human. When he was on earth, he experienced the same needs and hardships you do. He understands how you feel. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he cares. Our key verse is found in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17.
It was necessary for Jesus to be made in every respect like us. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people.
And here's our key thought for the day. Jesus understands you. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Here was Wednesday's daily devotional.
I prayed for Ella to get the new shoes she needs, but how else can I help her? I want to do more.
Well, maybe you're the answer to the prayer that you prayed. God wants to use you. Guess what? You're listening to the one and only Keys for Kids, a great way to grow your faith in God. My name is Zach. So have you ever prayed to God to help a friend and then realized that God wanted you to be the answer to your own prayer? Sometimes that's how God works. See, as believers, we're supposed to take care of each other and reach out to our community. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Let's listen to our story now. It's called The Answered Prayer. Sydney was trying on her new clothes when Mom looked into the room. "How are you liking the clothes we ordered online?" Mom asked. "Do they fit?" "I like them a lot, and all the shirts and pants fit," Sydney said. "But these shoes are too small. My feet must have grown over the summer." "Those shoes are really cute, though," said Maggie, her older sister. "All the girls are wearing them." "Well, I'm glad you like the shirts and pants," Mom said. "We'll send back the shoes and get the next size up. Now come on, it's time for devotions." So Sydney set her things aside and the girls joined their parents in the living room. When Dad asked for prayer requests, Sydney thought of something. "This afternoon, I was playing with Ella next door, and I noticed her shoes are worn out. There's actually a hole in the sole of one of them. Let's pray that Ella will get some new shoes." "We'll do that," said Dad. "And let's pray that her dad will be well again soon and able to find a new job." As Sydney prayed for Ella, she had a funny feeling she was forgetting something. She still felt that way as she put her new clothes in the closet. Even when she crawled into bed, the feeling stayed with her. "What am I forgetting?" she wondered as she stared into the dark. "I think I did everything I was supposed to do today. I finished my chores before going to Ella's, and after dinner, Maggie and I did the dishes. During devotions, Dad read some verses about showing our faith in Jesus by helping people who need food or clothes, and then I shared a prayer request." Sydney sat right up and almost laughed out loud. "That's it!" She jumped out of bed and ran to the living room. "Guess what?" she exclaimed. "I think God wants me to be the answer to our prayer and give Ella the shoes that don't fit me. Her feet are a little smaller than mine, so I think they'll fit her. Then I can buy a pair in my size with my own money." Mom and Dad looked surprised, and then Mom smiled. "Sydney, what a great idea." So what about you? Are you asking God to do something for someone else? Have you considered that He might want to use you as the answer to your own prayer? It may require some sacrifice on your part, but you might be able to provide exactly what that person needs. Be ready to obey if God prompts you to do something about it. Put your faith into action by praying for others and also by doing what you can do to help them. Our key verse is Galatians 6:10.
Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith.
And our key thought for the day, be ready to help others.
Hey, Zach, why didn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get burned in the fire?
Hi, Cooper. I love your question. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted that God would be with them in the fire, and even if they got burned, they decided that they would follow God no matter what. Now, when the fourth man was in the fire, some people think it was even Jesus, he was there to protect them from the flames. It was a real miracle. Well, Cooper, I hope that you're able to trust in God too. Thanks again for writing to me. I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
I have a tumor on my leg, and my whole leg might have to be amputated. I'm scared of what might happen.
No matter what happens in your life, you can always trust God to take care of you. Have you ever been worried about the future? If so, I've got a great story in Scripture to encourage you right here at Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Things can be tough these days. Maybe one of your parents lost their job, or one of your siblings has gotten sick and had to go to the hospital. If those things happened, you might have had a lot of fear and anxiety. But you know what? If you're a Christian, you can trust God to take care of you and your family. You can have peace in your heart knowing that He'll do what's best. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Our story today is entitled, "No Waves Too High." Connor ran into the water. The rolling waves cooled his warm body and relaxed his troubled mind. Because it felt so good and soothing to him, he swam out to deeper water. "I wish I could stay here forever and not think about anything," he murmured to himself. But Connor had a lot to think about. He had a tumor on his left leg, and in a few days he would be admitted to a hospital where a specialist would perform surgery. It wasn't known yet whether the tumor could simply be removed or if Connor's leg would have to be taken off. His mind was filled with questions. How will the operation go? What if I lose my leg? Will I ever be able to play ball and run on the track team again? The sound of little Josie's shrieks interrupted Connor's thoughts. "Daddy, I can't swim here," she yelled. "The waves are too big. I don't like this ocean. It's scary." "Look, Josie," said Dad. "The waves aren't too rough for me, see? They're not moving me at all. Here, take my hand and we'll swim together. You'll be safe with me." Josie seemed hesitant at first, but Connor knew how much she loved the water and wanted to wade in. She looked at her dad, then let him take her little hand in his big one. Soon she was enjoying the water as it splashed about her. "Did you have a good swim?" Connor asked Josie later as they began to make a sandcastle. Josie nodded. "At first, the water was really scary, but when Daddy held my hand, I wasn't so afraid anymore. He's strong, and I knew he wouldn't let me go." Connor smiled. Little Josie had just taught him a lesson. "If she can trust Dad in these big waves, I can trust God. He's my heavenly Father," he thought. "I know there will be rough days ahead, but God will help me through them. He said He'll always be with me because I trust in Jesus and I believe in Him." That was all Connor needed to know to give him peace. So how about you? Are you facing big waves or some kind of difficult time in your life? Instead of thinking about all the things that can go wrong, think about Jesus and how much He loves you. Talk to Him in prayer and tell Him about your struggles and concerns. Ask Him for wisdom and for strength and for courage. And then trust your Heavenly Father to hold you safely through it all and give you peace. Our key verse is found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3.
"You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you."
And here's our key thought for the day. God gives peace. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
I love the book series I'm reading. It's got all kinds of crazy stories. I can't wait to read the next one.
That sounds just like the Bible. It's got giants and man-eating fish and more. You're tuned in to Keys for Kids, and my name is Zach. Do you think the Bible is an exciting book to read? Maybe some parts seem boring, like when they count people or go through a list of names, but there's also exciting stories like David the Giant Slayer, Noah and the almost world-ending flood, and Jonah and the man-eating whale. The Bible isn't just exciting to read, though. It's an important book. It tells us all about who Jesus was and how he saved us from having to take the consequences of our bad actions, and it teaches us to follow him. John 20:31 says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Now let's listen to our story. It's entitled The Most Important Book. Carlos shut his book with a contented sigh. He had just finished over 400 pages and couldn't wait to get the next book in the series. "Hey, Dad," said Carlos as he walked into the kitchen, "can we go to the library? I finished my book and I'm ready for a new one." Dad turned from the pot of spaghetti sauce he was stirring. "You've been reading a lot lately. What's in those books that you like so much?" Carlos grinned. "The characters are always doing crazy stuff, getting into trouble, being saved by the hero, then getting into trouble again. Plenty of action." "Sounds exciting," said Dad. "Just like the Bible." "The Bible?" Carlos never thought of the Bible as being exciting. Dad turned the sauce to simmer. "Sure, the Bible is all about people getting into trouble and God saving them over and over again. There are shipwrecks, floods, lions, and warriors. Just about every adventure you can think of is in the Bible." Carlos thought for a moment. "I remember hearing stories at church about a boy killing a giant with a slingshot and some other guy getting swallowed up by a fish. That sounds pretty cool." "It is cool, but the Bible isn't just an exciting read." Dad pulled his own well-worn Bible from a shelf near the table. "This book was written by God through the hands of his chosen servants, and it's all true. It tells us how we can have eternal life with him. Each story in the Bible about lions and shipwrecks and floods points to the story of Jesus and what he did to save us." "I guess that's a super important book," Carlos said. Dad smiled. "Super important? It's the most important book. Not only that, but the Bible is a book you never stop reading." "What do you mean?" "It teaches us something new every time we read it," Dad answered. "It tells us what God is like and how we should live as his children, and it offers us words of comfort and encouragement for whatever situation we find ourselves in." Carlos stuck his face over the pot of spaghetti sauce. "I guess we can wait and go to the library tomorrow. That will give me a chance to start reading the most important book of all." So what about you? Do you like to read or listen to stories? Have you read the most important and exciting book of all? The Bible tells the story of Jesus, who became human and died and rose again to save us. It invites us to become part of his story by trusting him for salvation and eternal life. It offers us advice and encouragement as we walk with him each day. So start reading God's amazing story today. Our key verse is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 31.
"But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name."
And here's our key thought for the day. The Bible is the most important book. Well, thanks for tuning in today. As always, my name is Zach. We'll see you right back here tomorrow on Keys for Kids.
Trees. Apples don't grow on pear trees. Apples don't grow on pear trees. No apples there, it only grows pears. Bananas don't grow on plum trees. Bananas don't grow on plum trees. Bananas don't grow on plum trees. No nanas come, they only grow plums. Your heart is where the words of your mouth grow.
kid.
No, 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 no.
Suppose I tape an orange on an oak tree.
No, 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 no.
Suppose I staple some cherries on a maple.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no.
Your heart is where the words of your mouth grow. Your mouth is where the thoughts of your heart go. Jesus, change our hearts to bear good fruit.
Apples don't grow on pear trees. Apples don't grow on pear trees. Apples don't grow on pear trees. No apples there, it only grows pears. Your heart is where the words of your mouth grow. Your mouth is where the thoughts of your heart go. Jesus, change our hearts to bear good fruit. Jesus,
wasn't that another blasting time doing the daily devotionals? How much closer did you get to Jesus today? Make sure to share this amazing story with your family. Hope that this experience doesn't stop here, but continue to learn about Jesus' teachings by reading the Bible, praying to Jesus, and praising Him this week. Well then, I'll catch you later!